Welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. The text for today's sermon is in Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 9. These words of our Lord Jesus: "There was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward.' Then the steward said within himself, 'What shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I am ashamed to beg. I have resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses.' So he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' And he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said to him, 'Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. And then he said to another, 'And how much do you owe?' So he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, 'Take your bill and write 80. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home.'" Idolatry is the worship of the creation instead of the Creator. True worship is the life lived in fellowship with the one to whom this world belongs. Only a Christian can live this life, because this life comes only from Christ. The Holy Spirit, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, is the Lord and giver of life. In our baptism, He joins us to Christ's death and resurrection. When we know Christ as the one who took away our sin and reconciled us to God, then we know His Father as our Father, and we are children of God. When you are a child of God, you are wealthy. It doesn't matter how many things of this world you personally own and have in your possession. What difference does it make when you know the one who owns it all? When you know Christ, you understand that God doesn't need anything that you have. You need what God has, and God promises that you will receive everything that God has to give. St. Paul writes, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Romans 8:32. Christians don't have to worry about their material needs. Jesus himself guarantees us that the same heavenly Father who clothes the field with beautiful flowers and feeds the birds of the air loves us more than anything else he has created. Surely he will take care of us. If we seek out before all else the righteousness that God freely gives us in Christ and cling to him for dear life, God will not forsake us in any material need we have. The parable before us today teaches us about material wealth. Jesus uses the expression unrighteous mammon to describe material wealth that is used in service to sin. He tells us a story about a steward who showed great ingenuity in how he used unrighteous mammon for his own benefit. If those to whom this world does not belong can use worldly wealth shrewdly, shouldn't Christians, who are heirs of everything good God has to give, be just as shrewd? This is, after all, our Father's world. The unjust steward had wasted his master's money and so was about to lose his job. The rich man of this parable was a merciful man who could have tossed the unjust manager into jail, but he did not. He could have fired him immediately, but he did not. He gave him an opportunity to provide for his future elsewhere. The man could not do manual labor, and he wouldn't stoop to beg, but he figured out how to capitalize on his master's goodwill in the short time he had left. He still had his master's authority to settle accounts with debtors. He did so to the great advantage of the debtors. The man who owed 100 measures of oil now owed only 50. The man who owed 100 measures of wheat now owed only 80. The master could have revoked these decisions, but after the debtors had been treated so generously, he wouldn't have wanted to deprive them of that generosity. The steward had counted on that. He depended on his master's basic decency to rip him off and buy favor with others in the process. The master was impressed with the man's shrewdness, if not his honesty. The point of the parable is simple. If those to whom this world does not belong are clever in their use of material wealth, should not Christians to whom this world does belong be just as clever? If sinners expend great energy and ingenuity in sinning, should not Christians spend as much energy and ingenuity in doing what is right? Jesus concludes the story by saying, "And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home." The unjust steward made friends for himself and was received into the homes of those he helped. He helped them by doing what was dishonest. His reward was only temporary. Jesus tells us of an eternal reward. Instead of making friends by dishonest means so that we can get a temporal gain, we should use in an honorable way what others use in a dishonest way. We should make friends who will be friends forever instead of friends who will only be friends for a short time. The giving of alms or charity isn't the payment of a debt. Christ has paid our debt. The only debt that remains outstanding for a Christian is to love his neighbor. God loves us by giving us what we cannot repay. We love as we have been taught. There is no greater act of love than to tell the gospel to those who do not know Christ. This is giving without being repaid. Telling others the gospel is done not only by confessing the faith and inviting people to church, but also by supporting the preaching of the gospel in our own church and elsewhere. A life without Christ is a life of poverty, even if you have everything that money can buy. A life lived knowing Christ is a life of wealth, because when you know Christ, you know God. And when you know God, you know that you are the crown of God's creation. You know that everything that exists exists for your benefit. Everything God does in this world, to this world, and for this world, he does for the sake of his elect. The children of God are hidden from view. Their acts of charity are seldom acknowledged or even noticed. But God knows those whom he has chosen. He knows those who wear the white robes that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. He knows every act of kindness and generosity that they do in Jesus' name, and he graciously rewards them. God rewards the good works of his saints. By pure grace, he forgives us all our sins and regards us as saints for Christ's sake. More than that, he also regards our Christian acts of love as holy too. God justifies us through faith in Christ. He imputes Christ's perfect righteousness to us so that we are really and truly righteous. Then he also declares our deeds done in faith to be righteous deeds. Even as we are righteous on account of Christ, so our deeds are righteous on account of Christ, and he graciously rewards our good deeds done in his name. The Christian cannot look at his good deeds and see how good they are. The true virtue of our good deeds is the virtue they receive by God's grace. When God forgives, he does a very thorough job of it. He not only forgives sinners, he forgives sins. When your sins are forgiven, this means that everything that remains is good and pure and holy. The sin is taken away. What remains is truly virtuous because what is sinful is washed away. So we Christians can do good with our money. There have always been extreme and unbiblical views advanced in the church on the proper use of money. Some say that poverty itself is a virtue. and that the way to secure eternal treasures is to give away all your material wealth. But sin is as common among the poor as it is among the rich. Others say that God wants to prosper every Christian financially. But Jesus himself said, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Proponents of the prosperity gospel divert faith away from the crucifixion of Jesus, where sinners are saved, to the acquisition of wealth that will perish with the world. They say that God wants Christians to prosper financially. Many of these preachers live in material luxury. They look at it as a sign of God's favor. We preach Christ crucified for sinners and the free forgiveness of sins as the heart of the faith. We don't put our faith in money. We Christians are optimists. We can give our money to support the work of the gospel and rest confident that God will always bless the preaching of the gospel, even when that blessing remains hidden from our sight. We don't support the preaching of the gospel around the world because we think that God will materially bless us for our efforts. We do so because we know that the gospel is the word of God by which sinners are turned into saints. The best investment of capital we can make is the investment in the proclamation of the pure gospel of Christ. The gospel will make us new friends, eternal friends, friends of God and friends of the church, who, with all God's saints, will welcome us into heaven someday. St. Paul writes to Timothy, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." When you know the one who owns the whole world, you don't need to worry about whether he or not he'll give you the things of this world that you need. He will. You can work for poor pay without resentment. You can face bills piling up without worry. You can give to charity and church without regretting the loss. You have all the riches you need. God has seen you in your poverty and has given his Son so that you, by his poverty, might be made rich. This world does not belong to those who worship it and serve unrighteous mammon. It belongs to our Father in heaven, who has made us heirs of eternal riches by the merits and mediation of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We thank you for being our guests today on Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. We'd like to invite you to attend the services of our parish. On Sunday morning, we have church at St. John Lutheran Church in Fairview at 8:30, and then at Trinity Lutheran Church in Sydney at 10:45. You can check us out on the World Wide Web, christforus.org. I've got sermons, both written and audio, going back several years, as well as a number of articles that you might find interesting. And we'd love to see you visit our congregations because we love to share the gospel with anybody who's willing to listen. Please tune in next week for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.